Blog Talk Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
unexpected computer failure, but I am back on time. It's 11 o'clock, and this is another edition of the Southern Most Sports Wrap. Sorry I was out for a couple weeks. 2 weeks ago, definitely in the middle of a huge festival I was working. And last week, I just had some problems with the website. I was going to do a show at 10, but restrictions, it was up. I can only do a half an hour show. It just wasn't a good time. But it's all right. Little break. I'm back at it. I had a whole thing written out for last week, but it's still news. I mean, stuff I haven't gone over yet. Just a couple of things. Last week, the Saints accused of using bounty method for the last 3 years. Basically, what that means is they were trying to hurt people on the field, aiming to hurt people. You see the Steelers doing the same thing. But I think that's more of a personal thing. Harrison, I think, is just a dirty player. But, I don't know how they discovered it or whatever, but, it kind of comes, it's such a random team. So it's kind of, they were comparing it to the Patriots, what they did about 3-4 years ago, taping practices for the, from opposing teams, which is obviously really dirty as well. Two kind of different types of being dirty, but I don't know what's worse. I think trying to injure a player is worse. I mean, you can't. They have families and all this. I mean, to hurt somebody to take them out, possibly for a career or a couple of years. I mean, it's not right. I did have the standings as of last week. Thursday, I obviously had the updated standings here in a second for the NBA. As of last Thursday, Thunder had the top spot in the NBA, 29-7. The Heat, 28-7. But let's just see how those standings actually change. The Chicago actually losing tonight. Orlando beating him 99-94. The only other game on tonight is Dallas at Phoenix. Just started, 4:53 left in the first quarter. Low-scoring game, 13-13. I'll go over the full standings later. But it looks like the best spot in the NBA goes to the Chicago Bulls. Even though they lost, they are 33-9. Well, actually, it says Oklahoma City has a better percentage at 31-8. So Oklahoma City has the best spot. Then Chicago. Then Miami right behind them at 30-9. Miami keeping pace in the loss column, which is all that matters. They got three less wins, but they've played three less games. As long as that all-important loss column stays even, the Heat, especially if they keep the tiebreaker between Chicago, that Miami does control their own destiny, which is the important thing there. Orlando is now the third spot in the East at 26-15. We'll get more on that later. I did miss pretty much the entire All-Star game. I'm not even going to lie to you. I walked in. It was a hectic weekend for me. Good a hectic weekend. Just I was totally out of anything, not going out at the festival I was working at. I walked into work Monday, didn't know anything about the All-Star game, didn't know who won the slam dunk contest, didn't know all that. But some important news and notes. In the All-Star game, Wade did record a triple-double. The only other two to do that is LeBron James and Michael Jordan. So obviously joining a pretty elite crowd right there. Wade also broke another record. He is the first person to ever, well, along with breaking a record, he actually broke Kobe's nose. But on that same play, he was the first time a flagrant foul has ever been called in an All-Star game. So that's interesting right there. Trade talks going around the NBA. Main trade talks as of last week. I'm kind of going off last week's, but I'm keeping you guys updated. It was Pau Gasol, Rajon Rondo, Dwight Howard. Nothing has changed. Nobody has been traded. Nothing big has happened in the NBA as far as trades. But the deadline I just heard is March 15th. Today's the 8th, so give it another week. So a week from now, we'll see if any big trades happen. Speaking of big trades and speaking of a week, Peyton Manning, who was actually next on my notes, he is still up in the air, except now he's up in the air on which team to join. Last week he was up in the air on what was going to happen to him, but just recently he did get let go by the Indianapolis Colts, 14 years. I'll have his stats coming up, his career stats, on the 30 after the hour stat of the week. But he just a little quick news on him. He's currently looking at 12 teams. I did have some notes. Hopefully they saved. My computer literally shut down. Like streaming. Okay, cool. Everything's saved. Just really quick on Peyton Manning. Like I said, 14 seasons. 12 teams in the running, apparently. At least 12 teams have gotten contact and are interested in getting Peyton Manning. Not that other teams aren't interested, but, you know, when you have a quarterback already, it's really no point. There's only enough room on one team for one starter quarterback. I honestly, this is not biased at all. I just think that he will be a Dolphin. That's my honest opinion. He does have a home in Florida. I think the Finns need him a lot. I mean, they need a solid quarterback. And I think just this town alone has kind of been notorious for signing just big stars. I mean, obviously the Heat doing the big thing. And even before that, signing Shaq. And the Marlins signing a couple of big players. And obviously Reggie Bush signing last year. And signing Brandon Marshall a couple years back. I just think it just seems right that he would come. The other teams in the running, Washington, I don't know why he'd want to join Washington. You do have to think about the place that you're going to be living. Washington, you know, highest crime rate in America, or at least up there. Or you could live on South Beach. Sounds stupid, but it's true. I think there's got to be a reason for a team. But on the other hand, I think Dolphins do have a solid team to build around. Brandon Marshall, obviously. I think the Dolphins actually have a good team, just minus a quarterback. So if he can fill that spot, we'd be all right. Just a couple things that he said. He said up to the getting released that he was, you know, he wasn't thinking about where he'd want to go. According to ESPN, I think it's probably not fully true. I think it's mostly true. I mean, you got to understand, you've only played with one team for 14 years. You're not used to, you know, being talked about being traded. I mean, I think it was 50-50 whether he was going to go or stay anyways. So it's, you know, I think it's, what are they supposed to do? Start looking at other teams? I mean, you're still on the Colts. You still could stay there. But either way, he's out, and we'll see where he lands. Other teams that was thought about, like I said, Washington, I heard that he probably wouldn't want to do that. Not only do they just not have a good team, but being in the same division as his brother, Eli, I don't know, I guess they think that's not a good thing. They were saying Arizona, but Kevin Cobb just got signed to a big contract, so I'm not saying that he proved himself, but what are you going to do with him? The Jets were talked about, but, you know, what are they going to do with Sanchez? Are you going to have Peyton for a couple of years? I mean, Peyton is still going to be a great quarterback, but he's only going to be available for 2 or 3 years, so. I just think this is going to be kind of weird for the Jets. I don't think they take him. Denver isn't going to take him. They want to keep Tebow. So I just don't see another fit for him other than Miami, but we'll see what happens with that. Next week definitely should have a pretty good, figure about where he's going to land. So we'll see what happens. Rondo was on the big trading block, but he had a huge game last weekend. And now all of a sudden, I mean, they were rushing to get him out of there. And now he's staying put, looks like. So I don't know why they would even think about trading him. They're done if they do that. I mean, obviously for the year, but for a while. He's one of the best point guards in the league. But like I said, I had a huge game last week, and that will be on the stat of the week. And I guess we'll talk a little bit of NBA. Here's the current standings. Like I said, Chicago and Miami are the top two teams. Chicago 33-9. Miami currently a game and a half back at 39. Orlando 26-15. 6.5 back at Chicago. Philly's still staying strong. They're 9 back. But they're leading their division. Indiana 23-14. They're 7.5 back. Atlanta, who I just heard that Josh Smith has been asked to be traded. So we'll see. Well, I don't know why he'd want to be unless he's going to move up. They've got a pretty good team. They're 23-16, 8.5 back from Chicago. Boston, 11 back. And New York is at number 8. They're 13.5 back. Speaking of New York, Linsanity has been all the talk, but not so much lately. But they're doing all right. Well, they're 4-6 in their last 10, but that's not good at all. But they've been doing better. They have a pretty good – I think they're going to be the AC at worst. I think honestly, the playoffs for the Eastern Conference are set as far as the teams that are in there. Mainly because, I mean, look at the bottom three, Atlanta, Boston, New York. Nobody's going to surpass them. Milwaukee's 3 back from New York. Then Cleveland, Toronto. I just don't see those teams catching up. In the Western, Oklahoma City, still number one seed. They've been there all year, 31-8. San Antonio, still playing good. They're 4.5 back, though. Memphis, actually creeping up there, number 3. They're 7.5 back. And the Clippers are 8 back. Tied with the Clippers and in the same building, the LA Lakers, 8 back as well. Dallas, 8.5 back. At number 7, Denver is 22-18. They're 9.5 back. And at number 8, look at Minnesota. I told you guys, that was my big steal to begin the playoffs. Currently, they are in the playoffs right now, 21-19. At 10.5 back, tied with them is Houston. Obviously, they have a tiebreaker with Houston. Houston, 21-19 as well. Utah, game out of the playoffs. Portland, game and a half out. Phoenix would be 3 games back. So I still think those teams right there, you know, on the outside looking in, are strong enough to make it. So definitely the Western Conference will be shifting around a lot. Like I said, the Eastern, I think, will stay pretty steady. I do think Miami will figure out how to get that number one seed, and they definitely need to be. Last week, this was going to be my stat of the week, but I have a whole bunch of stats for you already. Just I'd point out, last week was the Thursday night show. It was Wilt the Stilt's anniversary of the 100-point game. And I had written down the next 4 high-scored games. It was Kobe Bryant with 81 points. David Robinson had 71 points in the game. MJ, his highest scoring game was 69. And Larry Bird had a 60-pointer. Just thought it was interesting. I actually marked down quarters 1 through 4 of the Wilt's 100-point game. First quarter, he had 23 points. Second quarter, 18. So you're thinking, all right, 41 points, it's decent. Ended up getting 28 in the third and 31 in the fourth. So a huge game, obviously. No, it's not even any. You can't even compare that anymore. And I think what Kobe did was actually a little bit more remarkable, being in the era. But he did against Toronto about 5-6 years ago. So this is a little fun facts for you guys. Just so you guys know, I don't know how long I'm going to go tonight. Definitely want to go past an hour. Close to 12 o'clock, I will have Ben Jamison on the air. He graduated from FIU a couple years back. He's a sports agent. If you guys recognize Kyle Kaiser, who was on my show a couple times, I'm following him, you know, until he makes it big, which I think he will. Ben is his sports agent, so I just think it'd be cool to see. I mean, you know, Ben graduated with a degree in sports management, so, well, I mean, obviously it's a degree that I would probably want to, you know, major in, but just didn't feel what I could really get out of it. And, you know, if you want to see what you can get out of it, Ben will let you know what he's doing. And I think it's pretty remarkable. I think he's having a great time. You know, his career is pretty awesome. And so there's a lot I don't know about it. And we'll have him on the air later, and we'll see what he has to say about that. Just going back to the All-Star game, I did have some more notes about it. Didn't mean to get all jumbled here. Three-point competition, did learn that Kevin Love won, which is pretty good for him, being a center, power forward center. Two Heat players were in it, but they didn't do too good, apparently. Shooting Stars, New York won. I don't know the third player, but I know Fields and Allen Houston were on it. MVP of the All-Star game was Kevin Durant. And the West ended up winning. I think I'll call in, or let's see what I got here. The dunk contest, let me see. I totally should have had it up here. Like I said, I didn't get to win. Jeremy Evans won the 2012 Sprite Slam Dunk title. Wow, it was... I know it sounds stupid that I really didn't see it, but I just really didn't see it. It's hard to watch it on replay. It's never on. Blake Griffin winning it last year. And whenever you win, you come back, but he didn't come back for some reason. But apparently Jeremy Evans actually edged out Chase Buttinger, which I thought was crazy that he would actually even be on the dunk contest. But he was. So I know I'm talking about stuff I didn't see. I have to watch it one of these days. But Jeremy Evans did win. I don't want to knock it. I just know that the players weren't spectacular. I'm not saying they're good dunkers, but it seems to be such an epic event with all MJ, you know, all the guys, Dr. J, Vince Carter. I really wish that would be back, but it is what it is. And I just got word that Ben will be joining me in 10 minutes. So really quick. I'm going to get back to my usual NHL standings. I will not tell you anything going on in the NHL, because I'd be lying to you. But I do have it in stone here, the standings. Just right out of the Eastern Conference, the Rangers doing very well. 91 points in first place, Boston Bruins at 83 points, and the Florida Panthers still in the number three spot. They've been there ever since I started the NHL update. 74 points. The Penguins at 85 points are number four. Philadelphia, 83. The Devils, 81. Ottawa, at number 7, has 80 points. And the Capitals, at 72 points. Looking in, Winnipeg, also 72 points. Buffalo, 70 points. Tampa, at 69. I believe... Well, let me get in the Western Conference, and I'll let you know how many games are left. The St. Louis Blues, the number one team in the NHL at 93 points. Vancouver, 90. And Dallas Stars have 77 points. A low-scoring number three seed. Kind of like the Panthers are in the Eastern Conference. Detroit, 89 points. Nashville, 85. At number six, Chicago, 79 points. The Phoenix Coyotes, 75 points. And at number eight, San Jose Sharks at 74. Two other teams looking in at 74 points as well. Los Angeles Kings and the Colorado Avalanche. Calgary Flames at 72 points. Still have a good shot at making it. So we'll see what happens. Let me check out the division standings, because that's basically what the Panthers are fighting for. With their record, they're locked into the number three seed if they win the division. But if they don't win the division, they could be screwed. They currently have a 2-point lead over Winnipeg and Washington. So we need to get that. You know, like I said many times, I'm not a huge, huge Panthers fan. I'm just not a hockey fan, but I'm definitely rooting for them. So I do hope they make it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They have 16 games. Big game tomorrow against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Then they have four at home, so we'll see how that works. As far as division games that are obviously big, they do play Washington towards the end of the year. As far, I'll also play Winnipeg, too. So those will definitely be crucial games. Coming up. And it does seem that we do have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hello, Tyler Zinser. This is Ben Jamison.
All right, what's up, Ben? How you doing?
I'm pretty good, Tyler. How are you? I just touched down in Miami, ready for a big day tomorrow.
Oh, nice. You drove up here, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Got pro day in the morning. Going to go out there, represent Jamison Sports, and meet with the people to know. Hopefully good things come of it.
Awesome, man. Yeah, man, I mean, obviously, I know you very well as a person, but your career, I mean, I know what you do, but, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but it definitely seems very, very interesting. I told everybody a little bit about you. You know, you graduated from FIU, a sports management degree, correct?
Yes, sir, with a minor in marketing. Let's throw it in for the mother. She's proud of that one.
Cool. Yeah. I know, I'm not going to lie. I mean, sports management was the first thing I thought of, but I just didn't really know what I could possibly get out of it. But I'm going to ask you, I mean, why did you choose that college path? Did you just, you had in your mind that you wanted to be an agent or what? Oh, sorry, we lost him. We should get him back any second now. Hold on. Here he is.
Tyler.
Ben, you're back on the air. You're back on the air.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. Bad connection.
It's okay. My question was, you chose to do sports management. I didn't choose it because I didn't know what I can get out of it. Why did you choose it? Did you know what you wanted to do, you know, after college?
So when I originally came to FIU, I decided to do business. And that was when I first came to orientation in 2006. And then after looking at the business school, I decided, you know, I'd rather go into the sports management program. One, because, you know, I met with the dean, really liked the guy, had a lot to offer. And secondly, you know, most of the athletes at FIU do take sports management or criminology. So I was able to really network through sports management and meet a lot of people that are helping me out in the future. And I really enjoy the classes. And, you know, I think it's going to pay off in the long run.
Cool, man. So I didn't know that you, I mean, originally when you graduated, and after talking to you for a little bit, I know that you have a few clients. How many clients do you have at the moment?
Currently, I have four clients. Or actually, you know what, make that five. I have Kyle Kaiser, who has been on your air before. who is currently playing for the Vienna Vikings in Austria, the top team in Europe. And he is the main reason I'll be at the FIU Pro Day tomorrow. I'm meeting with a few teams in the NFL about possibly bringing Kyle into training camp. I also have Miles Burnsides, who is the 2011 Division II Defensive Player of the Year. He is a safety from Northwest Missouri State. And I also have gotten into the mixed martial arts world with Ray Torres, Devin Genchi, and Jason Thors from the Freestyle Fighting Academy there in Miami, right by FIU. Jason just won the welterweight national championship for amateurs. And we're pretty impressed with him. And Devin and Ray actually just turned professional, and they have their first fights coming up. So we're looking for a lot of exciting things in the future for them.
Nice, nice. A couple of names do sound familiar, and I'm glad they're doing big things. That's awesome. Yeah, just talk about the Pro Day a little bit and what you're going to be doing tomorrow. What exactly is Pro Day, and who do you plan on meeting and talking to Kyle Kaiser about?
Pro Day is basically, if you turn on the NFL Network, which I'm sure a lot of your viewers do, Channel 212 on DirecTV, the NFL Combine, where they have the bench press, vertical jump, broad jump, 40-yard dash, total time, field drills, interviews. It is an exact replica of that, except every college in the country holds their own one, with their own coaches monitoring it, with scouts from various teams showing up if they're interested in recruiting, or I should say, going after a player in the draft or free agency. So it's basically the NFL Combine, but on a more, condensed, watered-down level.
And my question to you, obviously, anybody from FIU knows who T.Y. is. Is he? I heard he didn't do the combine. Is he doing the Pro Day tomorrow?
Yes, he is. T.Y. was at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. He went through the interviews, and he measured and was poked and prodded by many of the scouts that were there. He had a quad injury. He sustained in the bowl game against Marshall that he didn't feel was 100%, so he did not test at all. So
there's going to be
quite a few scouts there tomorrow from various teams to check him out, because he's going through a full workout, apparently, that's what I've heard. And looking forward to actually seeing him work out, see what he runs in the 40-yard dash, see how he tests, because I know
a lot of teams
have him pegged as a, an NFL slot receiver and returner, possibly a third-round pick. So I'm pretty excited to see how he tests tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd always kind of pinpoint him as third round. Is that where you have him, if you had to just take a wild guess?
That is where I have him, if he runs a good time tomorrow. I mean, you and I have watched him over the years. He's quite an athlete. We know he's going to run fast. It's just basically his measurables are not ideal in the NFL, but there are a lot of receivers these days, making a lot of noise at his size. Mike Wallace from the Steelers, Deshaun Jackson, he really fits in that type of role, I think.
He can automatically become
a punt returner in the NFL. He just has that ability to break loose at any time. The only questions I have about him are, obviously, every NFL scout does, is his durability. He's not a big guy. He's been banged up with a few mix of bangs here and there. But I don't know if that's a question of his toughness or the fact that he was FIU's main weapon for 3 years and getting constant double teams and cheap shots from the opponent to try and take him out. In the NFL, he won't be getting all the attention that he does at the Sun Belt Conference.
Maybe he'll sit out versus Saints. I don't know. But, yeah, he's not a big guy, but everybody's kind of looking at his speed, and the 40-yard dash is obviously the main thing I'm looking at. So hopefully he can put up some big numbers. And cool. And just my last question about your sports agent career is, what do you plan to accomplish, in the few coming months? What are your goals, and what is your ultimate goal?
All right, in the coming months, especially tomorrow, I'm actually going to be at a few other pro days. I'm trying to get the current clients I have more exposure. They're playing the CFL over in Europe. The that's not really their goal or my goal. The ultimate goal for them is to get them to the promised land, the NFL. That's where their dreams are, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't sign them if I didn't believe that they could get there. So ultimately, we're trying to get them into an NFL training camp and just basically get, you know, someone to see what they can do and just tell them that they can play in the NFL, because I have the Defensive Player of the Year in D2, who is one of the all-time leaders in interceptions and tackles for a quarterback, and one of the all-time receivers there. And I ultimately feel that they can make an impact in the NFL. And ultimately, I would like Jameson Sports to not just be a regular, you know, run-of-the-mill sports agency, but, you know, I've always had my eye on charity work, and I really want Jameson Sports to be able to go out, you know, in neighborhoods, you know, in the public, and be able to, you know, raise a charity, set up a foundation where kids who maybe come from underprivileged homes, you know, come from bad neighborhoods, single-parent households, after school they don't have anything to do, they can come over, you know, we'll have classrooms, we'll teach, put them through athletic training, and it's kind of like an academy. I've been meeting a lot of businessmen lately who run fighting academies or educational academies, and I want to kind of set up the same thing where they come and they have somewhere to go after school, and over the years we develop a really good relationship with them and their families, and ultimately help them succeed in whatever it is they do. I know not everyone's going to become a professional athlete, but if I can help a few people here and there, I think I've done my job.
That's awesome, man. Definitely. I mean, there's so many great athletes out there that just don't have the right coaching and whatever. I mean, a lot of them are, if you can get their mind right and give them an opportunity, a lot of them will shine. I think it's a great idea, man, and that's awesome. So I hope that everything works out for their sake, too, and for your sake. So I will definitely keep that on thing. And who would you say right now is your biggest, I mean, I guess Kyle Kizer probably is your biggest hope right now, if you had to choose.
My biggest, what was that?
If you had to choose, like, I mean, everybody's your main guy. I mean, you take care of everybody that you have. But if you had to guess one person you think has the best chance to make the NFL right now, would you choose Kyle Kizer or the defensive guy?
Absolutely. You've had him on the show before. You know what he's about. You've seen his highlights. Kyle Kizer is an absolute stud. His first game is March 25th, the Vienna Vikings over in Austria. I expect every one of your listeners to get online. I will give you the information to be able to watch him and just watch him tear up Europe, because Kyle Kizer is on a mission and he will not stop until he becomes a perennial Pro Bowl player in the NFL. I absolutely believe that 100%.
I'm excited to. If you give me the link, I'm definitely going to watch it. So I'll try to get all of
you
to watch it.
Yeah, I spoke
awesome,
with Kyle earlier. He is ready. He's primed and ready. He's already at the top of the depth chart. He's enjoying Austria. He's going to give you a call after his first game. He's going to check in. Everything with him is going well, and he's going to have his league starting March 25th until June, and then hopefully if everything goes according to the plan, he'll be at an NFL training camp, and you'll be watching him on TV in August.
Awesome, man. Everything sounds great on both ends. And just a few things before I let you go. I know that you're very knowledgeable about sports, and I kind of just wanted a second opinion. Just wanted to talk about the NBA for just a second. A lot of things brewing.
Okay.
March 15th is the deadline for the trade deadline. Do you have any if you had to pick one player, do you think there's going to be any blockbuster trades going on? The main guys I'm looking at, Rondo, who I don't think is a big name anymore. So how about Gasol or Howard or maybe a couple point guards? Do you think anybody's going to move around?
I knew you were going to ask me about Dwight. You know, I think Orlando is going to hold on to Dwight Howard in hopes of trying to bring in a player to make Dwight happy and not leave. And if they cannot do that, you know, Dwight, obviously, I think, going to leave in the summer, as does everyone else. I know a lot of rumors are out there about the Lakers trying to get Dwight, giving up maybe Gasol and buying him. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Lakers are going to try and stick with what they have. Maybe bring in, you know, a couple role players. Their bench is pretty weak right now. If I had to say one marquee player who is on the move, I would say Monte Ellis from Golden State. I think Orlando is going to try to get Monte to convince Dwight to stay. I don't know if that's going to work out, but Golden State's kind of got a weird situation right now with Stephen Curry and Monte. They're both, you know, guards. They have Stephen as a point guard, but he's more of a shooting guard. Monte takes a lot of shots. I think they're going to try and take Monte out of there. Maybe I couldn't tell you who they're going to get for Monte, but I think Orlando's going to try and get that. Maybe some draft picks. Maybe a Ryan Anderson type. A couple expiring contracts so they can build up to the future. I don't think Dwight's going to be on the move, though, and I think ultimately Dallas is going to have Dwight Howard and Darren Williams playing for them next year.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, if they don't trade him, they're going to have to try to keep him there.
Yeah,
they got to bring another big name. Their team's just been full of nothing but three-point shooters and Dwight Howard. It's such a hit or miss team. So.
It's kind of an odd thing. I mean, they could be decent if they bring in someone, but at this point, the Bulls and the Heat are just so far ahead, I think, of the competition in the East. Unless New York can really put it together on just put a, you know, they have a good bench now. They have J.R. Smith over there. But
yeah.
I just think the Bulls and the Heat and then Orlando might as well just try to start rebuilding because I've always said it's better to, you know, blow everything up and get a couple of lottery picks than just remain a 5 or 6 seed. They have
they
probably have to get rid of, you know, Jason Richardson, Turgaloo, you know, a lot of expensive guys there. Jameer Nelson, not really the point guard they're looking for.
No. I don't see Dwight going to the Lakers because you can't. First of all, you can't get rid of Gasol because then you're going to have Bynum and Howard. Not that it's not a good thing, but no one can really play the power forward, and it's just going to be too many. And then you can't trade Bynum. What's the point of that?
Yeah, I don't think Orlando or LA would even trade because Orlando is probably looking for Bynum as a centerpiece of that. There's no way LA trades Bynum and Gasol.
No,
so,
you're downgrading, and I think ultimately Howard will probably go to the Nets. Is my honest opinion. But my last thing, I have two
Nets.
The Nets. I just think D-Well, the way he's playing lately, and they can get Brook Lopez back. I think they can keep all three of those guys. Brook Lopez might be part of the trade it wouldn't be a trade. It would just be signing.
Yeah, he could definitely be on the move, but his trade value has really gone down. He just cannot stay healthy. A lot of teams are being scared off by that foot of his.
Well, maybe they'll sign him as a free agent and keep Brook Lopez. I think that'd be a pretty solid combo right there with D-Will. My last couple questions is the Miami Heat, is that your choice to win? I know you're a Heat fan, but, I mean, realistically, do you think that there's anybody that can stop them this year, even though they are third in the NBA?
You are correct. I am a massive Heat fan. I do believe they are the front runners right now, but with that being said, Oklahoma City – you know, definitely could pose some problems with their front court depth of Ibaka, Perkins. You got Collison and Muhammad coming off the bench. That's the Heat's only weakness to me is their front court. You know, I know they're working.
Ibaka's good too.
Now. And Joel Anthony, you know, he's for what he's been given, he's a very undersized center. He's not a very good rebounder. Doesn't have a lot of offensive moves. Very good defender though, but it just. Size matters in the NBA, and Oklahoma City has that, and they have two guys that can just really, actually three guys, I'll put it hard in there, three guys that can really just take over. And, you know, I think the Heat, if they play up to their potential, as you and I have seen in many games, you know, sometimes they look unstoppable, sometimes, you know, they don't. But if they're on their own game, I don't think anyone can beat the Heat, but there are teams, you know, Oklahoma City, Chicago, even if LA, you know, comes to the air, they pose a threat because they have the best size in the NBA. Those would be my teams to beat the Heat if anyone were to.
Cool. My last two questions is, one, who is your MVP so far this year?
MVP, without a doubt, LeBron James. He's doing things that people that no one has ever done statistically. I know he gets a lot of flack for his end of game mishaps, but to average, I don't know his exact stats right now, I'd say 28, 8 rebounds, nearly 7 assists. That is unheard of. And on the defensive end, he's an absolute nightmare for any opposing player. When he really gets locked in, no one can go against him and really put up good numbers. I know a lot of people are going to say Durant, but I just don't see him. I know he has a real point guard in Westbrook who picks up assists, but he's not the passer LeBron is, and he's definitely not the defender. So I won't say Durant, and the dark horse would be Kevin Love, but I don't see him winning an MVP on a team that is barely 500.
Yeah, Kevin Love, I think, is definitely a big part of that, too. But, yeah, the record is not saying much. Just really quick, LeBron, 27.7 points per game, 6.7 assists, 8.4 rebounds. And my last question to ask you, now that Peyton Manning is such a hot topic, if you had to choose one team that you honestly think that he's going to end up with, I chose the Dolphins. Honestly, I just think that it's notorious for the Dolphins to sign a big player like him.
Not trying to give you and your listeners wet dreams tonight, but I do believe the Dolphins will be the team. I thought that a couple months ago. You know, they have, other than the Jets, they have, you know, equally as good of an offensive line, which is important for a player coming off an injury as himself. And with Brandon Marshall and Reggie Bush coming off his best season as a professional, I really think the Dolphins have the offense to get him really going, and their defense is young and, you know, not too bad, actually. The Dolphins really put together a good stretch, I believe. What were they, 6-2 or 7-1 at the end in the last 8 games last year?
Yeah,
I think if he went there, and possibly I've heard talks of Reggie Wayne joining him there. You know, I don't know if Devon Bess is really a number 2 receiver in the NFL. I think he's better slotted as a number 3. And they have a number 8 pick in the draft. They could address that right tackle position, or, which I think is the Dolphins' biggest need, is to get a pass rusher opposite of Cameron Wake. I think the Dolphins could automatically become at least an 11-5, possibly 12-4 team, and make a run in the playoffs with Peyton.
Well, I just wanted your opinion. I didn't know, just didn't think anybody else was, you know, possible, the Jets, whatever, but that's cool, man.
Yeah, I don't think Peyton wants to go to the Jets. You know, he's got his brother there in New York. I think that would kind of just put the New York media in a frenzy to have both brothers there, and I just don't think Peyton wants that. Plus, you know, he has a house down here in South Florida. Coming off an injury, he's always played in the dome at home. The weather would be perfect for him. I've heard rumors of him going Seattle, Washington, maybe Arizona. I just don't think that's
going to
happen, Tyler.
Yeah, Arizona's kind of locked into Cole, but Seattle's kind of a rough place to live. And Washington, they said he's in the same division with his brother, and that might be kind of weird, too.
And they really don't have any weapons on offense for him. So I think the Dolphins would be the best fit for him.
All right, man. Well, that's honestly, you answered every one of my questions, and that's awesome. And I wanted to definitely invite you on the show another time. Definitely want to follow what you're doing and your players. I think it's just a great story, and I enjoy having you guys on my show. I know my listeners do, too. My other listeners have definitely risen in numbers since I've had Kyle Kaiser on, so I definitely want to keep that going. And just to hear what he's doing, I'm excited as well. And I just want to wish you good luck tomorrow on the pro day, and definitely when next time you're on, I want to hear about it. And thank you for joining the show.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to talking to you in the future and filling you in with Kyle. Thank you so much.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yes, that was Ben Jameson on the air. I'm glad to have him on. Just, you know, I want to have good minds on my show, and what he's doing is kind of just a new project for me. You know, we are good friends, so obviously it's easy for me to get in contact with him. But just what he's doing out of college and having all these players come in and do big things, it's very interesting to see where they all end up. And like I said, I've had Kyle Kaiser on twice to see where he's gone from Nebraska at Kearney in Division II, just graduated. Now he's already in Vienna, Italy, playing football, and just – I'm really excited to keep following him and just to see his path. A lot of these players, you know, takes a long time and a lot of courage and perseverance to get to the NFL. So that's a great story, and we'll see where he ends up. And let's see what we got going on here. It's 11:47 up there. I have my top three plays of the week coming up. And I also have, I had five total plays. I played one kind of randomly because I didn't have, I will play my stat of the week as soon as I get my stat of the week. Oh, I do have it. Stat of the week wouldn't be right without that song. Glad I had some time to upload it. Well, we do have a bunch of stats for you today. Started off, Wade, first time ever in an All-Star game to commit a flagrant foul. I said that earlier. Also, with his triple-double, third time that's ever happened. MJ and LeBron James are the other two. Kobe Bryant is, after the All-Star game, is now the all-time All-Star points leader. I think that's interesting to point out. And as promised, here are a couple of stats from last week. I was talking about Rondo's game. Last weekend, I believe it was Sunday, recorded 18 points, 20 assists, and 17 rebounds. That is just amazing. 17 rebounds alone for a point guard, let alone 20 assists, 18 points. I mean, he almost had 20-20-20. Just outstanding. And not to be outdone, the same day, Deron Williams, 57 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds. That is a monster game as well. 57 points is just, for Deron Williams, is amazing. He's doing big things for New Jersey, and I couldn't be more proud of him. Got traded from Utah, and he's pretty much been stuck by himself over there in New Jersey, but it's good to see him still putting up points. I think maybe he's trying to get Dwight Howard's attention. I don't know, but we'll see what happens with that. Good for D-Will. And my ultimate stat of the week, that is all the talk about Peyton Manning. Let's talk about his career stats. 4,682 completions. That's off of 7,210 attempts. That's a 64.9% completion rating. 54,828 yards, 7.6 average per completion, and 399 touchdowns. I saw the 399 touchdowns, I'm just thinking, man, the two seasons ago, he was like, one more. And then he had to sit out a whole year. Not that he didn't have more things on his mind, like his team, but definitely, he sure can't wait to get on the field and throw that first touchdown to get the stat to get that 400 and also start up a new team and a new career. So we'll see what happens with that. And I guess it's a good time to get into my top three plays. Let's kick it off here with play number three.
LeBron with a takeaway by himself. Oh, yeah. You can see that coming all the way. Played the passing lane. That's what he does best on defense. Larry Drew compares.
Yeah, that was LeBron James in a 360 dunk he had two nights ago. No, last night against the Hawks. Excuse me. And let's get into my number two play of the week.
Look for the long ball if you can't get it to the basket in time. Williams, 4 seconds, 3 seconds, bounce. Farmar for the win. Got it! Oh, he buried it! 0.2 on the clock. Boy, delivery by Deron Williams. Ball comes into the fast court. Immediately you start to think there's not enough time to get to the basket. The Clippers were not thinking that way. They fail. Watch out, they don't find the right to shooters. Right now, they elect a double team. They lead a pure shooter like Farmar, who's been shooting the ball very well tonight, 6 of 11. What a delivery. He sees the double team, get rid of it with a strong bounce pass. You throw a bounce pass like that, and it comes up to the shooter in the waist. It's money. Great reaction by the bench. A terrific shot by Mr. Farmer. Look where that ball's delivered to him. You can't get any better rhythm for a shooter than with a pass like that. Look who picked him up. Morrow right there to celebrate.
Yeah, it was a great play. Jordan Farmer, better known as a Laker, but he does now play for the Nets. And let's get into my number one play. Here it is. None better than D. Rose, current MVP.
Now, we've seen the last two or three teams the Bulls have played go to that strategy, get it out of Derek's hands in the fourth quarter. Milwaukee has opted not to do that. Here it is. Derek again, alone on top, with only Jennings on it. You see Delfino comes out, kind of zoned up. He's really guarding Deng, but he's well away from it. Rose crosses over the fadeaway. Got it!
I step back and kiss myself!
Oh my
MVP
gosh, it's
time.
Over!
Windy City of Fashion does it again!
Rose! And now the officials are going to look to see if there's any time left. Rose!
No!
Just raised up and killed it.
That's why he's the MVP. He is a killer. He will take that last shot. He is not afraid of taking the last shot. That's what superstar players do.
105, 104. They put it in his hands and just let him go to work on Jennings. And a little step back jumper.
Oh, here it is right here.
Now watch this.
Step back. Let me step back and kiss myself.
In the air.
Come on, flash.
Anthony coming out. Stoudemire drives down a lane, stripped by Wade. Wade coming, looking to push. Alley-oop to James! A great pass and an even better finish.
They convert turnovers into offense better than anyone in the NBA. Stoudemire cannot drive into traffic.
Mike D'Antoni won't call timeout and let the Raptors set up their D. The crowd on its feet here at the Air Canada Center. Lynn puts it up. Bang! Jeremy Lynn from downtown! And the Knicks take the lead!
I love playing random plays. That was my top three plays, plus a random alley-oop with D-Wade and LeBron and a Jeremy Lin buzzer beater. Just moving on here, just changing the subject. Let's talk about baseball. Guys, opening day is very, very soon, April 4th. I'm excited. I have tickets already. I can't believe I missed yesterday's game. I mean, my college is FIU. My all-time favorite team is the Marlins, and they're playing each other in the new stadium, which I have yet to see inside of it. It was sold out. I was totally shocked. I'm happy that it sold out. Kind of a love-hate thing. I don't know where all these fans are coming from, but can't be mad. Obviously, the Marlins heading in the right direction. And just want to double-check their roster to make sure nobody crazy moved around, and it's looking pretty steady. The catcher, John Buck, will be starting. It looks like first base, Gabby Sanchez. Omar Infante back in second. Jose Reyes at shortstop. And Hanley Ramirez over there on third base. Your outfield is looking like Logan Morris in the left field, center field, Emilio Bonifacio, and Mike Stanton over there in right field. My favorite player is Mike Stanton. I'm really excited to see what he's going to bring to the team this year. Such a big guy. I think I'm actually older than him, but he can definitely hit the ball hundreds of feet farther than me. And I'm really excited to see him and how many home runs he can hit this year. Other notable players, Emilio Bonifacio also plays shortstop. Greg Dobbs backing up Hanley over there on third base. Bona Foster's kind of everywhere because he can play all these positions. Obviously, the starting lineup, Josh Johnson, Mark Burley, Nolasco, Anibal Sanchez, and Carlos Zambrano. Not a bad starting lineup. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, 1-5, that's pretty solid. To have Zambrano probably your fifth starter, I mean, obviously, you got a hot head, but that's probably a great thing that we now have Ozzie Guillen as a head coach. So we'll see if he can kind of turn things around him, at least keep him in line. That'd be a great thing to have. They have played a couple games already. They started March 5th against the Cardinals I don't know if they're playing. They're still playing in Florida. But 4-3 win for them. They play the Hurricanes Tuesday, won 7-6. And then they played against the Tigers, lost 1-3. Yesterday, played FIU, won 5-1. And they played the Mets, lost 0-7. And then they played the Mets today and won 5-4. It doesn't really mean much. They're just playing everybody here and there. But a lot of games to go. I personally have a 20-game plan, thanks to my father, including a opening day ticket, and they actually bought 10 more tickets for them to do. So a lot of Marlins games to come for me, so I'm excited about that. So that is your update on the Marlins. Just to recap, this is my South Florida sports update. I talked about the Heat already. They are third best in the NBA, record-wise. Marlins, like I just talked about, they just last game played last night, FIU. One of their first games back in the ballpark. It was a great event for them. They had fan night last weekend. They opened up the fans to everybody. I have tickets opening day. There's a huge waiting list, apparently. So that should be a packed house. talking about the Florida Panthers a little bit. They're still third, hanging in there. Either they win the division and finish third in the East, or they don't finish atop the division, and they may be out of the playoffs at best, maybe an eighth seed. And the Dolphins, no big news on them, but obviously big news could be coming. Hopefully they do sign Peyton Manning. Everything's pointing towards that happening, so we'll see if for some reason that does happen. I'm pretty excited about that. And all right, it looks like it's 12 o'clock, and I still got a few things to talk about before I hang it up here. I'm going to talk about it because it's important. I'm not a huge college basketball fan, but the tourneys are starting. March Madness has begun, and right now it is the conference tourneys, and just the big one, obviously, the big conference going on in college football is the Big East. Their bracket started off with DePaul and Connecticut. Connecticut winning 81-67 to advance. And Pittsburgh at San Jose. Pittsburgh won 73-59. Connecticut then beating West Virginia 71-67. Georgetown then beating Pittsburgh 64-52. So today Cincinnati played Georgetown and Cincinnati won 72-70. They will play Syracuse, who beat Connecticut 58-55. So tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Syracuse and Cincinnati battle it off, number 1 versus 4 seed in the Big East. On the other side of that bracket, after everything's said and done, Marquette, Louisville. Louisville won 84-71, and they're going to be playing the game isn't over. Notre Dame, South Florida playing right now. Looks like it's 54-53 Notre Dame as of right now. I'm sure it's on ESPN. Let's see what the score is. It's still going on. I just wanted to see how much time is left. Final overtime. Notre Dame beats South Florida 57-53. So we'll be Notre Dame and Louisville, and the winner of that plays the winner of Syracuse Cincinnati for the Big East winner. A lot of Big East teams will make it because it's such a strong conference. But we'll see how that shapes up. Obviously, all the conference trainings right now, all those small conferences, you know, if you win, you're in. There's so many conferences going on and some teams you really haven't heard of. If you win, you have an automatic bid, which is the main reason why there's they call it March Madness. I mean, you have a bunch of teams. Rarely do they ever win in the tourney because they're usually playing a really, really good team. Obviously, it'd be six, if you're number 16 or 15, you're playing a one or two team. But the bracket will be coming up, so looking forward to that, although I don't trust my bracket at all. I'm a professional sports guy, not a college sports guy. I just don't follow it as much. Try not to hit me for it. Just really quickly, see if there's any other huge news going on ESPN. Before I let you guys go. Nothing huge. The Rangers and Darvish, who they just signed, he's doing very good for them. So bright spot for them. The Angels might be a bright spot. They got Pujols and CJ Wilson. We'll see how they fare this year. I think they're going to be a good team. Derrick Rose saying he's tired of Dwight Howard talks. I guess I don't know why he's tired of it, but. After the bounty with the Saints, a couple hits on Brett Favre, they're now regretting. So, I mean, it turned into kind of a big thing. And just quick little news. Federal authorities are investigating suspended Auburn point guard Veris Ward for alleged point shaving involved in at least two games this season. If anybody doesn't know what point shaving is, basically you're involved with a bet, possibly your own money, and you purposely try to lose or try to win. Well, usually it's losing. You try to lose, which you can because you're actually in the game. It's easy for you to do that in order to make a certain bet go a certain way. Usually it's to benefit you, or maybe you're threatened. I don't know. But if anybody remembers the longest yard, it's basically a perfect example of that. And honestly, there's not much else to talk about, guys. I want to apologize for not being on air the last 2 weeks. But, you know, it happens. I've actually been going pretty steady for the past 2 years. I'm very proud of that. And I want to know, we'll be back next Thursday night at 11 o'clock for another edition of the Southern Sports Wrap. I pretty much said everything I had to say. Last thing I did want to talk to you guys about really quick. I just wanted to talk about the NBA stats and see who the leaders are already this year. I did mention the two games they're played on today. Orlando won 99-94 at Chicago. Dallas currently leading 53-54 at Phoenix. Third quarter is just about to start. And just to quickly run down my last quick stats just to end the show off. My points per game leader is currently Kobe Bryant at 28.7, Kevin Durant 28.1, LeBron James 27.7. Your rebound leaders, Dwight Howard 15 a game, Kevin Love 13.8, and Andrew Bynum 12.7. Looking at assists, Steve Nash, he's getting up there in age, but he's still leading the league in assists, 10.9 assists per game. Rajon Rondo 10.1, and Jose Calderon 8.7. Field goal percentage, Tyson Chandler is beasting the field goal percentage at 68.7%. Pretty far behind him is Dwight Howard at 56.7 and Andrew Bynum at 56.1. Free throw percentage, Anthony Morrow, 92.9%, Jamal Crawford, 92.2%, and J.J. Redick at 91.5%. Your three-point percent leader is your own Miami Heat's Mike Miller at 49.3%. Steve Novak for the Knicks, 47.7%, and Brandon Rush for the Warriors at 47.6%. Your blocks leader, Serge Ibaka, 3.2 points per game. JaVale McGee at 2.6, and DeAndre Jordan for the Clippers at 2.5. Steals, Mike Conley, 2.56 steals per game. Chris Paul, 2.25, and Rick Rubio at 2.23. And the less important, not really good to point out, turnovers. Darren Williams leading the league at 4.2, John Wall 4.1, and Russell Westbrook at 4.0 for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And just speaking of the Thunder, I probably left this out of the stat of the week. Three players last night actually had 30-plus points, which is the first time in a while that this happened. Harden, Durant, and Westbrook all had 30-plus points, and just a crazy stat. And with that, honestly, I'm just going to wish you guys a good night. Good luck at sports. A lot of things can happen from now until next Thursday. The NBA deadline and Peyton Manning, I think a lot of that stuff could be settled. So definitely have a lot to talk about next week. I'll be live Thursday night at 11. There should be a lot going on Tuesday night also on Ship to Shore Radio. I believe Georgia Sports Talk will be on. If not, at least Ship to Shore Radio will have Ship to Shore. So hopefully that's going on too. Check it out Tuesday night on here. Possibly Captain Frank Dredd, if not his first mate Ken, and maybe even Rob. I don't want to say for sure because they've been taking a little break too, but they definitely have. If they have anything going on, check it out Tuesday night on Ship to Shore Radio on Blog Talk. Radio.com. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight, and I'll see you guys next Thursday.
I'm officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers.
Most sports round.